Tarry here, where the stories never grow old, and you hear something new every time they are told and it comes clear. So tarry here, where it doesn't matter your age, and when we gather round the table, we all take the stage year after year. So tarry here.
Welcome to the Enlightened Radio Storytelling Hour. This is Fanny Crawford.
And Stosh Ziolkowski.
We're broadcasting from Bolivar, West Virginia. Today is Monday, September 21st. It's equinox time, and our theme today is Different Voices, One Story. We're actually going to tell several stories, but that's our theme. And we're happy that you've joined us. So, Stosh, what are our announcements for today?
Well, coming up in October, the Speak Story series will be hosting Paul Strickland via Zoom. Mm-hmm. Paul is one half of a couple, and I don't know if they're married or not. But he performs with Erica Kate McDonald, and they do giant shadow puppet theater. And that's what they were supposed to do, but it had to be changed because it can't be done on Zoom. They have to have an entire stage and all this backlighting and everything, and it has to be completely dark. So, Paul is going to do something by himself. And Adam is very excited about it. I've never heard Paul Strickland, but Adam says he's very good. Of course, Adam wouldn't get somebody if he wasn't good.
Yeah, I believe Adam.
And then in November, a fabulous way to close out the series, except we may not be doing that, is Donna Washington, November 10th. And
yeah,
the reason I really said... The reason I said we may not be closing out the series is our new board of directors of the nonprofit Speak Story Inc. We have a meeting this week, and we're going to be talking about one of the things that's on the agenda is continuing the series. Through December and January and February and March. We don't have anybody lined up yet, but we're talking about it. And I think it'd be a good thing because the Speak Story series is a very popular series. We've been getting very good audiences through the Zoom. And I think we should continue to entertain people.
I think so.
You know, only costs $12. Certainly, I think people are enjoying themselves. I know I've gotten all kinds of invitations to watch storytelling. Plus, I'm telling in a couple of places. And people are enjoying this, I think. So I hope we do something in December. And I'm going to suggest if nothing else, we do have an oleo of some storytellers if Adam doesn't think he can line up a big time major part. And, maybe I can go down to the farmer's market on a Sunday morning and record some kids. Tell me a story.
Well, I'm looking forward to the full season. That sounds great.
Yeah, it'll be exciting. And I just have to ask this, who are you lining up?
I'm not lining up anybody for Stories in the Round, but I do have an announcement for Saturday. This coming Saturday, I'll be telling live at University Plaza in downtown Hagerstown, masks and social distance required.
Ooh.
And my performance is 30 minutes. I'll be opening for two musical acts. But my part is at 5 p.m. Hagerstown Stories.
Will it be broadcast?
Yeah, it's not going to be broadcast, but they're going to record it for future broadcasts of one kind or another.
Oh boy, that's a shame.
I know. I hope the weather holds up, because I don't think there's a cold date. Can you give me a time check?
4 minutes.
Okay. What else do we need to talk about before we tell stories?
This is a very busy week. I had a rehearsal last night that didn't work. I'm going to be telling at a story swap with West Virginia this evening, a story I've never told before. And Joanne Dadisman of the West Virginia Guild is proposing that we do story swaps every month, just with members. It's not a performance. It's just for members who want to try new things or bring out an old story and dust it off. And we will get feedback. And Joanne is a wonderful person. So far, I haven't met any bad people in West Virginia. I think that's a good thing to say. There are people. I've been in story swaps where you finish and there's one or two people who can't wait to tell you what is wrong with that story and how you should fix it. And, you know,
I've been there.
I am a kind and gentle soul, but that's the only kind of thing that just lights my fire. When I first moved to Pennsylvania area, I went to a storytelling guild the first time I went, and this guy went off on somebody, and I said, "Whoa, when did the world die and make you king?" And said, you're really way off base here. And he and I had to work at our relationship, because he said things like, "That doesn't make any sense," and "What a poor way to do this," and the ending was awful. I was like, "Good Lord, help that woman off the floor." And you know, he and I eventually got to be reasonably good, compadres, but not great friends or anything. But he was just, I don't know, he was a lawyer. And, he treated the storytelling like it was a legal case. And he had the right to object to anything that he would not have done. So, anyway. And the shame of it is that he was a decent storyteller. Obviously he was proud of his abilities. But he never got asked to do many things.
And I guess not.
And, you know, and about 3 months, I understood why he doesn't get to perform like in celebrations and things like that. It just was, he was just
abrasive,
too abrasive. He was like having sandpaper when you have to write your term paper by hand. It was like somebody gave you sandpaper with an ink pen, the kind of liquid ink. So anyway, I'd like, Joanne has promised that there will be gentle comments and as much praise as possible. And I've experienced that with the West Virginia Storytelling Guild. All the people I've met there are just wonderful, and they're kind, and they only want people to do well. They have no desire to criticize the storytellers, because I think they're the kind of people who've been doing a long time, who perform a lot, and they understand it's not the easiest thing in the world to tell a story well.
Right.
And, and that telling somebody that they're wrong, I mean, that's the bad part. It's like, it gets into politics almost,
Right.
So,
right.
And
personal politics.
Right. Then I know John is kind of a political person, so he won't mind this on broadcast. But I hope everybody who has any sense whatsoever will stop sometime during the day for 60 seconds and have a pleasant thought about Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Oh, yeah.
Because she was really a special force in the Supreme Court and as a lawyer. And our country has definitely lost a great person.
Absolutely. Thank you for saying that, Stosh.
Oh, you're welcome.
Okay, so are we ready for story time?
Yes, I think so.
Is it okay if I... So I had shared with you earlier that I am... This is a practice run for my storytelling on Saturday. Although right. So the Hagerstown stories that I'll be telling are based on 15 different interviews that I've done with local Hagerstonians. Right. And I only have 30 minutes, so I hope to be able to tell 3 or 4 stories in that time. But right now, my stories are kind of rambly, and I change them every 5 minutes. So I've told everybody, all of the interviews, that I cannot tell them who's going to be featured.
And you shouldn't.
On Saturday. But
make them guess.
That's right. We'll see. We'll see what comes out of my mouth. So this is by no means a dress rehearsal. This is like making sausage back here.
Yeah. Well right. You don't even have a dress on.
I'm wearing a sausage. Okay. So this story is called Middle Child. I'm the middle child and kind of the quiet one. There were 2 older than me and 3 youngers, plus mom and pap. When I was 8, we moved across the street from the post office. Me and Debbie were the closest in age, so we did everything together. Debbie was the idea person. You knew if I got in trouble, it was because of Debbie. Lost my place. Debbie and me, when we needed spending money, we liked to turn in soda bottles. You could get 2 cents if you turned in soda bottles, and we liked to go to the grocery store for that. Now, I like to get some of those old-time little cake mixes in the box and frosting mixes. The frosting one, there was a recipe for fudge you could make on the back of the box. And that's how fudge became my specialty. Mom used to take us to the city market on Saturday mornings. Oh, that's a funny name, because it's always been a farmer's market. We call it the market house, but... Duh, it's in the city, so it's the city market. It's still there, but not as big and wonderful as the old days. Oh, I know, that's what Debbie always said, nothing is as big and wonderful as the old days. there were lots more vendors and crafters there then. Debbie and me would buy our supplies for fudge and then our whole candy supply for the week there. Was the best selection in town. At different times of the year, they had specialties. Cupcakes decorated with pumpkins and ghosts for Halloween. Oh, I was going to tell you. Every year, Mom took us to the Halloween Mummers Parade downtown Hagerstown. Debbie was in the majorettes 1 year, and it was so cold. But we all, the whole family, even the kids that were married already. We stayed out the whole time because Debbie had to be there, so we did too. Mom would take us trick-or-treating, though. We knew these old ladies down the street. Well, they were not even as old as I am now, but that's what we called them. They gave out Reese cups. That was the deluxe treat in those days. And another house gave out quarters, so you know I was ready to go every time. 1 year, I didn't have a costume for some reason, so I went in pajamas over my clothes. I guess I was sleepyhead. My brothers went as cowboys most of the time. We'd walk up to Broadway School on Locust Street, 7 blocks one side, and then switch sides on the way back, and we tried to cover the side streets too. I'd be disappointed if we didn't get to say trick-or-treat on every street. We would only go, though, till we were 12, because that was the city rule, I guess. Or that's what everybody said. Now, there's only 7 years difference between my younger sister, Trudy, and my nephew from my oldest sister. So I take them both when I got big. And then back at our house for trick-or-treat, Mom would give out single packs of hot chocolate. She thought that was better for kids than candy bars. Even in her later years, she would sit in her wheelchair and give out those cocoa packs, talking to each of the kids. She loved seeing them all dressed up. I think maybe she enjoyed Halloween even more than us kids did. We moved to another apartment downtown later, where there was a big fire and the whole building was ruled uninhabitable. You might have to remind me to say that word because I didn't even know what that meant at the time. But I wanted to tell you the story about the cat and the fire. We had a cat. We called it Trudy's cat because it really belonged to my littlest sister. Well, she was in the 9th grade by then, but I still call her that, my little sister. Trudy called their cat Muffin after a child character on the soap opera As the World Turns. And when the fire happened, only me and Mom and Pap were at home. I was graduated high school by then and working afternoons and evenings. It was February and cold, so Pap couldn't work roofing. Mom wasn't working much by then. Trudy was at school. All the older kids were married and had moved out. It was just about 9 a.m. I know that for sure because Peyton Place had just come on. I was watching. Mom and Pap had prices right on in the middle room, so we couldn't hear anything but the TV. When we saw the fire, we had to get out fast. We didn't have time to grab any of our stuff. We had to climb out the bathroom window, because the front and side doors were both blocked, you know, by flames. But none of us thought about the cat. Now, don't worry. There is a happy ending. Just let me tell it. If Trudy had been there, she would have remembered Muffin. She loved Muffin. It was her baby. We didn't think about the cat till we were out. And by that time, the whole apartment was burning. The firemen got there just as we got out, but they had to go back in because the family on the top floor wasn't out yet. They got that family out, and while they were doing that, they found Muffin, and they brought her out a different way and put her in a fire truck. And we'd already been taken to a safe building down the street, but somebody came and asked if it was our cat, and we said yes. So they said we could come to this fire station later to claim her. But when they got the fire truck back to the station, they couldn't find Muffin anywhere. So they thought she must have gotten out of the truck somehow and ran away. We'd already gone to stay with Debbie and her husband, and the firemen called us there. They called to tell us they couldn't find Muffin. And now Mom wanted to tell Trudy that Muffin was fine and we'd get her back when we had a place to live, because the building was uninhabitable. But I wanted to tell Trudy the truth, that we would keep looking, but we didn't know where Muffin was. But Mom said, "No, don't say that." Well, we searched for Muffin for 10 days all over the old neighborhood, and the fire crew searched the burned out building and the truck. On the 10th day, they called us to say the cat turned up at the station, yowling and mad. She hadn't eaten in 10 days, and she must not have had much water either. But by then, we had moved into Bradford Apartments off the Dual Highway. They weren't called that then. They were brand new and the insides were ready, but the sidewalks and the street weren't finished yet. But the thing was, after we moved in, we found out we weren't allowed to have pets. So we couldn't take Muffin, even after they found her. Trudy cried and cried, but she knew we'd have to find Muffin a new home. And when the fireman called to say they found Muffin, he said that Muffin was at his house with his family because he was afraid to leave her in the firehouse because she might get out or find another place to hide. And when they heard we couldn't keep her, that family decided they wanted her, even though they already had a big tomcat. Well, it turned out Muffin didn't like that cat much. But a while later, just like 2 months later, the family called to tell us Muffin had kittens. I always thought maybe that was why Muffin didn't like that tomcat. Well, we still couldn't take any kittens. And Trudy got mad all over again. But the cat got famous because there was a big write-up in the paper. The fireman's family renamed Muffin to be Miracle because it was a miracle she survived the fire. And somehow the paper found out about Miracle and her kittens, and there was a big photograph on the front page, so they didn't have any trouble finding homes for the Miracle babies. But the other story about downtown I wanted to tell you. We had so many adventures. This is a great place to have adventures, Hagerstown. This story is about the Maryland Theater. I got to see the Oak Ridge Boys there two separate times. The first three times I saw the boys, once was in Nashville with Mom. We took a touring bus right from Hagerstown. And once I saw them in Hershey, Pennsylvania, and once downstate in Maryland near Washington, D.C. But those last two times at the Maryland Theater, everybody said the Oak Ridge Boys came all this way to see me. And they did. We saw Mel Tillis at the Maryland Theater. That was Mom's favorite. And Neil McCoy. I had to work that day, but Dougie, my brother, took her for her birthday. Oh, and Debbie went and stood in line for me for hours in the cold, cold, cold. Those are her words. Cold, cold, cold. Debbie hates the cold. For tickets for me to see Billy Ray Cyrus. I never would have believed she would do that for me. But she was in the paper. She had to show me the paper. She was the third or fourth in line. And some reporter got a picture. They waited for hours till the box office opened. I had a huge crush on Billy Ray after Achy Breaky Heart. My oldest sister Bonnie took me to see Johnny Cash and June Carter Cash too. All at the Maryland Theater, right here in Hagerstown. Oh, wait. If the Oak Ridge Boys come back, Trudy just checked their touring schedule on the internet for me. They won't be here this year and maybe not next year, but when they do come back, maybe I can volunteer to be an usher, or whatever they call the people who stand in the aisle and help you to your seat, because that would be my best adventure, because I'd get a chance to get backstage and meet the Oak Ridge Boys for real.
Well, okay.
Okay, you have to tell me what that means.
Well, that was 12 minutes long.
Okay,
so
that's okay. I mean, yeah. It will be shorter.
I know you're not going to try to get 15 stories in half an hour, because that would be 2 minutes a story, and that's not possible.
Is that what you thought I said?
No, you did say half an hour, and you did say you had 15
stories. Three stories,
Three stories, so, well, you know. Do you want to hear a couple of things?
Yeah, of course
okay.
I do.
How old is this person talking?
Same age as me.
Okay, well, she started out being 7. Okay.
Yeah, she sometimes is.
Well, it sounded like a child was telling the story. So, okay. I just wrote young, how old now? And it's, you know, this is just, that's what it sounded like. Okay. Describe the fire. Where did they see the fire?
In the apartment. Their apartment burned to the ground.
Yeah. Where was the fire? Was it in their kitchen? Was it in their bathroom?
No, it was
in
the other end of the house.
Oh, okay. There was, I thought, where did you see the apartment? Did their door burst open with flames or something? Yeah. Okay. I just thought that might
be a good question.
Good to say.
So I told this story. I told this story twice on the air, but I told the fire story. So I told lots more about the fire. But they're going to be there. Could very well be kids. I don't want to tell a scary fire story. So this was my way to tell the cat story, without telling the fire story. But you're saying it's too confusing.
Well, yeah. Just when you said we could see the fire, and then you also said you had to go out the window.
Yeah, they had to go out the bathroom window because both doors were blocked.
Okay, so that made me think somebody went to the door, opened the door. Oh my God, the place is all on fire. Something like that. But that was just me. Okay. I think you just need
a word confusing. Or two. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And okay, this is something that was really funny, and I don't know if you want to keep it in or not. But you were looking for Muffin. Oh, and we didn't know where she was. Of course not.
There was a fire.
And I'm glad that was it was both to me. It caught me. I said, "Well, of course you didn't know where she was." But I don't know if you leave that in, it won't be bad. But it is just funny.
You mean because if we were looking for Muffin, obviously we didn't know where she was?
Yeah. And you said it so seriously. Well, we just didn't know where she was. You know, and I wrote down, we didn't know where to look, or we didn't know when to begin or something like that. But the didn't know where she was is actually a very funny thing.
Okay.
Especially because well, I got...
So shall I leave it in?
I think you should. And I got the impression that this was now I was listening to Old Lady.
Well, see, that's
shortly into the story.
Is she is an old lady, like I'm an old lady.
Yeah.
But she doesn't present like an old lady. She's very quiet. Like she said, did I say at the beginning I'm the quiet one? I think I forgot to say that.
No, you did.
I did. Okay. So, and she's not, and she's quiet for long periods of time. But when she's telling a story, she's very animated, and I want to capture that. What I didn't do in this version is I don't talk about Debbie enough, actual things that Debbie did, because she was a hoot. And the two of them together, I can see that Debbie was constantly dragging her into trouble because Debbie had ideas. So I would like to capture that, but I can't do it all in 8 minutes.
What happens if you, I'm just curious. What happens if you go 30 minutes and you're not done?
I have to leave the stage.
Okay.
What? So your next thought is, where did that come from? Where did that question come from?
Well, because
this is sausage, folks. If you're listening,
because it took a while. To, you know, you were 12 minutes, and that was, it might have been closer to 13 even, but I don't know. I wonder what you would do for a transition after that story.
I turn my back on the audience.
Right.
Take a deep breath, put down the prop that I'm holding in my hand.
Yeah.
And pick up another prop.
A kitten?
Not a kitten. No. Although that would be a good one because she is a cat person.
Yeah.
This person is a cat person.
Okay. Well, so you know what you're going to do as a transition.
Yeah. No, so good. 30 seconds to gather my thoughts and become another person.
This is me because I'm an old man. Why Muffin didn't like the Tomcat?
It's supposed to be funny. Is it not funny?
That's that. Well, I don't know. Are there going to be children there?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. There could be. There might only be three people there. Who knows?
Well, I understand that. You never know. Well, I don't know.
So it's clear what my implication is.
Absolutely. And I would keep it in if you were telling this at Speak or at Stories in the Round. But I'm not sure, you know, it's a little off color. And keep in mind who's saying this. You know, I'm a prude when there are children around, you know. It's like.
Okay, so I need to try it on a mother.
Yeah, and see if nobody blinks.
Okay, because I was worried that people wouldn't hear it the way I hear.
Boy, not with your face.
what my face do?
It looked, the expression on your face was like, I watched that tomcat or something, you know.
Have you ever watched a pair of cats? Well, it's awful. Can be awful. It's usually awful.
Well, your face registered that you saw the deed.
I saw the event, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So anyway, I it's enjoyable. There were a lot of names at the beginning.
Yeah, too many names.
Yeah, just, you know.
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't even try to write them down.
No, don't do that. So the only names that are important are Debbie and Trudy. Really, sure. Nobody knows.
Right, downtown and all that stuff.
Okay, so the rest of the time, I'll just say my big sister or my brother.
Yeah.
And not.
Cool. Okay. I like that. It was good.
Okay. 12 minutes.
And I'm sorry that I won't be able to see you in person. I'm not bold enough to go anyplace.
Yeah, I'm not sure I am, but we're going to see. I might get up on stage and say, there's too many people here, you're sitting too close together, and those people don't have masks on, I'm leaving.
That's the other question I had at the beginning when you first described this. Is there going to be a monitor?
All the publicity says social distancing and masks, but this is Hagerstown, it's outside, and, you know, we know. I think the people in the front row will be masked, but who knows? I'm up on stage, so I'm relatively safe for 30 minutes.
are they going to social distance the chairs?
Understanding.
That's the
way it's been presented to me.
Nobody's going to sit?
That's my understanding.
The audience, oh my goodness.
No. What do you mean nobody's going to sit? Yes, they're going to socially distance the chairs.
Okay. Oh, good. That's important.
That's my understanding. Yeah, I did not ask that specific question, but that's what it sounds like to me.
Because if they're only standing and watching,
no,
then they're going to be hugging and kissing and all that.
Yeah, there will be people standing. It's a huge open space.
Yeah,
it's grass. Okay. So there'll be people sitting on the grass if it's not snowing. Yeah. And, you know.
Okay. Well. Yeah. I have turned down two invitations to engage with people. And one of them was a classmate of mine that we graduated from college in 1966. He and I were good, you know, we were good friends in college. We played softball together and we did things together. And he and another of our classmates were in Boonesboro. And invited us to go to lunch with their wives, and I turned them down.
Yeah, we're not doing restaurant. I'm not doing. Yeah. I haven't been in a restaurant.
Well, and I haven't done anything. I get, you know, I sit on the porch.
Well, you have people come to your house and sit in your backyard with you.
That happened one time 2 months ago.
No, it was. You've done it twice because there were two separate sets of people who came to visit you.
No,
we can argue about this later.
Okay. We only had our trivia team.
Adam.
Oh, that was, they were 10 feet away from us.
Well, all I'm saying is.
Yeah.
We all have our.
Okay.
Thresholds.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So, anything else about this story before we move on?
No, I liked it.
Okay.
I liked it. And okay, And my statement about the person starting out young isn't meant to say don't do that. It was just that I noticed it, and then she became older.
How about if I say, when I say they moved across from the post office when she was 8, if I say 1959?
That's, yeah, good.
That's helpful. Okay.
Right.
Okay. Because then it's more a quirk of personality than
right.
her age.
Right.
thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you. I enjoyed that very much.
Did you recognize her from other stories?
No. No. I'm okay. too old to do that. I don't remember yesterday. I'm kidding. I'm starting to think it's delightful that I can say I'm in my 80th year. It is far beyond. You know how people say, "Ah, oh, boy, I never thought it'd be this old." I truly, to say to anybody,
you
someday,
did not have the
Stosh
imagination.
Will be 80. And I'm thinking, no, they won't. Somebody will kill him long before that. Or some disease will.
See, I've been thinking about living to 100 since I was about 13. So
you have to plan these
things.
No, I dread living too long.
Well, there's that.
Because but, of, you know.
But I, in I, my I, imagination, I will be, I may be hell to live with. But I'm planning on being healthy.
Yeah. As long as I'm healthy and can still trudge along, but I would hate to be a burden on my wife.
Yeah.
And she's too kind to just bury me in the backyard, or
you never know. Everyone has a first time.
Well, that's true.
So watch your step.
Boy, that would be interesting.
All right. Imagine. Tell us a story. Well, wait. We have to say thank you to Andy Offit Irwin. I started to do it before, and I forgot.
Oh, okay. You forgot that you started to do it. That's good.
Yeah.
Okay. So thanks, Andy Offit Irwin, for that wonderful, wonderful lead-in to our show, your song, Tarry Here. And someday, Fanny and I will sing along with that song.
Oh, what a good idea. Well, maybe a good idea. I don't know.
Well, who knows? And folks, you're listening to the Enlightened Radio Storytelling Hour with Stasi Olkowski and
Fanny Crawford.
And in case you're not having a good time, I feel sorry for you because we're having a great time.
And our theme today on Monday, September 21st, is Different Voices, One Story.
Okay. Well, I'm going to begin a story. All right. A long time ago, it turned out that luck and intelligence happened to meet near a bench on the side of the road. And luck said to intelligence, "Move over. Give me some room to sit down." And intelligence said, "Why should I move over for you?" And luck said, "Well, let's have a contest. Let's see which one of us does the best by getting into some human being and see how well that human being fares." Well, who knows how luck gets into your body? Some people are lucky, or intelligence. Some people are intelligence. So the two of them stood up and looked around, and luck pointed to a man who was toiling in the field. A young man. Turned out his name was Vanek. And luck said, "Okay, intelligence, this is what we'll do. You get inside his head, and we'll see how well you do." Intelligence immediately crossed the road, and all of a sudden, Vanek felt different. He looked at his father at the other end of the field and said to his brother, who was not far away, "I'm not doing this anymore. I don't like doing this. All I do is dig stuff out of the ground. I'm dirty all the time. I'm going to go tell father I'm going to find something else to do." His brother was shocked. But he did. He went down, told his father. I'm going to go and search for a better life. His father said, if you leave, you will not be the one who inherits our property. That's okay, Dad. I don't care. Off he went. And as he was walking down the road, he got near the king's gardens. And he loved flowers. And he liked pretty things that grew. And so he went and introduced himself to the man that looked like he was in charge and said, I love flowers and gardens. I would like to work for you. And so the man hired him. Didn't pay him very much at first. But Vanek grew so much as a gardener. He became extremely good at it. In no time at all, the head gardener didn't have to tell him what to do or where to do it or when to do it. He just gained so much knowledge from watching the other workers and from listening to the gardener. And soon, he did everything on his own. The head gardener just let him go, and he became very good at it. Well, it turned out that the king had a daughter who was very beautiful, but she never spoke. Something had happened at the age of 12. It wasn't an illness, or she just stopped talking. And it bothered the king terribly. So he made a pronouncement. Any man who can get my daughter to speak will be able to marry her and inherit half of my kingdom. Well, Vanek thought, how hard could that be? And so he went, and you had to go to a person and sign up to try this. And there were many men who went, and the princess just ignored everybody who came and talked to her. Well, it came time for Vanek to go in. And Vanek walked in, and he knew that the princess had a favorite dog, a little puppy, a little dog, maybe not a puppy, but just a little dog that sat next to her, and she loved that animal. Well, Vanek went in. He looked around as if he couldn't see anybody but the dog. He walked over near the dog, bent down, and said, Doggy, I have a problem. Let me tell you a story, and I would like your advice. And so he began. He was actually kneeling next to this dog and told the dog the story. There were three of us, a sculptor, a dressmaker, and myself, and we were traveling. And we got into a thick woods, and it was dark, and we decided that we'd build a fire, and we'd take turns watching the fire through the night so the other two could sleep. Well, first of all, the sculptor was up, and in order to pass the time, he looked around. He found a nice piece of dry, solid wood. Well, he got his knives out and his little mallet, and he carved the figure of a woman out of that piece of wood. He tapped the dressmaker on the shoulder and said, it's your turn to watch. And the dressmaker said, what is that? He said, oh, I was passing the time. I just carved the figure of a female. Oh, the dressmaker, of course, had his bag of goods, his needles and threads and scissors and some cloth. And so he passed the time while he was watching by clothing this wooden figure. Well, when it came time for me to be on watch, I saw the figure. I said, what's that? And he said, oh, the sculptor carved this woman, and I clothed it and said, maybe you can do something with it. Well, I did do something with it. I taught that wooden figure to speak and to move. And so, Doggy, here's my problem. Which one of the three of us should have the wooden figure. And of course, the dog didn't say anything. And he said, again, which one of us? Who should deserve this? And he was staring at the dog. And all of a sudden, the princess said, well, of course you should. Because just cutting a piece of wood or putting cloth around the piece of wood isn't anything important. But you got that wooden person to talk and to move. Aha! So I stood up and said to her, well, I win. So I get to marry you and inherit the king, some of the king's fortune. And just as I said that, one of the king's advisors came running over, grabbed me, spun me around and said, how dare you say that? I said, well, that was the deal. But you're a commoner. You can't marry the king's daughter. And it turned out that the king sometimes would put out proclamations without really thinking about what he said. But there was, you know, and I said, the law is the law. And if the king says something, that's the law. He can't go back on his word. And the counselor said, hey, you can't dare criticize the king and say he can't go back on his word. Anyway, it was a big to-do. And it was decided that I would have my head cut off because I was a commoner. And the king agreed. They took me out to a small post, tied my arms behind my back next to the post. And the executioner picked up his sword and was about to swing it at my head when the blade fell off. Just before that blade fell off, luck had entered Vanek and said to intelligence, I think I should take over. Then a rider came up on a horse and said, stop, and was amazed to see that the sword had fallen apart. And said, the king has changed his mind. His daughter said that she liked you very much and he could make you into a person of royalty just by saying so. And so you do get to marry her and you get to inherit half the kingdom. And that's when luck said to intelligence, I think from now on, you should step aside for me. So, that's my story. You're muted.
I can see.
What?
I can see you take on each of those personalities and be totally wrapped up in them as you tell.
Oh, good.
The story.
That I fell in love with that story because the Folk Life Center in West Virginia had invited me if I could tell an Eastern European story. Mm-hmm. And this came from Czechoslovakia. Well, right. I have this marvelous book. I don't know if I've ever showed it to you. It's called Best Loved Folk Tales of the World.
I think so.
Oh, it's 700 and some pages. And I have not read all of them. But there are tales from different places, from Scotland, from Ireland, from Asia, from Middle East, from Scandinavia. And so every once in a while, something happens like this, and they said they wanted a story from Eastern Europe. And I said, well, I look, and sure enough, there is a section, Eastern European Tales. And I read a few of them, and when I turned a page on this one, and it said, luck and intelligence. I thought, oh, well, this is good. You know, because as a school teacher, I often spoke about luck and intelligence, that some people are very lucky, multiple choice tests. You can take a course in how to take multiple choice tests, because if there are four choices, two of them are always completely out of sight. And so you only have to make a 50-50 guess. Anyway, that just got my attention. And so I wrote back and said, yes, I have one from Czechoslovakia. And that was the first time I've told it out loud.
Oh, can you tell us the name of the book again?
Best this book, no, it's called Beloved Folktales of the World. And it is selected and introduced by Joanna Cole, C-O-L-E. And I've had this, I don't even know how long I've had this for. This is one of the first books I bought in the early 80s. I started telling stories outside of my own classroom 30 some years ago. And this copyright is 1982. And when I bought it, it was real new. And I carried it with me a lot of places. And it has so many of the wonderful tales that everybody tells. But it has some that are just absolutely, you know, different. And I like this one because, you know, I paged through it quickly to see, yeah, there's a king and there's his daughter. And, of course, if somebody gets his daughter to talk or smile or laugh or something, which that always fascinates me. I think, man, well, I don't want to meet any princess now, but when I was young, I would have tried any of those things.
I can just see that.
You know.
Okay. So can I give you one? I only have one piece of information for you.
Right.
I got confused about two-thirds of the way through because you were telling the story that was told to the dog in first person.
As Vanek.
Right, as Vanek. Yeah, but you told, but when you started, you were in third person and talking about intelligence and love talking together.
Right.
And I did not hear a you continued in first person up until the point that intelligence and luck come back and are talking to her, talking to each other.
Right.
So I was confused because I expected you to go back to third person when the decision was made that he was going to have his head cut off. But you stayed in first person all the way through that. So
I know. Mm-hmm.
So the transition was confusing to me, but it could have been that my mind wandered.
No, well, I at one point I thought, "Oops, who's talking?"
Okay, all right, okay.
and that was when I was in the middle of talking to the dog.
Right, you were still.
I realized that I didn't really make a point of that. So, but that's good. I'm glad you said that because I want to do a better job. So okay, but that's good.
It's a wonderful story. My gosh.
I've
never
delightful.
Heard anything like that. That's
no, it's
really
just
cool.
So cool. And actually, the one part I really didn't say, and I want to say when I perform it is, the executioner lifted his sword, and as it went above his head, Luck said to intelligence, "Move over. I'll take over from here." And that's when the blade, and that would have been, I think that would have been pretty good. Yeah. Because I just think that is a wonderful tale, which I've never heard and I can't, you know. So anyway, I'm going to make that one of my, put that one in my pocket so that if I get stopped on the street and somebody says, "Tell me a story," I'll have it. It has so many nice things in it because he never looks at the princess until he wins, until he's, and that seems a bit brazen.
It is.
You have now I win. The king has,
but it works because it makes them equals in some way.
Right.
She's no longer completely in charge.
Right. Anyway, thanks. I appreciate you listening to that because that's,
Oh, I love it. I was happy to do that.
Well, I sometimes walk and tell stories, not as often here as I used to, because in the town, I'm just thought of as a nice old man. I don't want to be thought of as the crazy old man. Oh, guess what is down the, on the corner?
A crazy old man?
No, there's a, you won't believe it. There is a house. Old men sit on the porch, lots.
Yeah.
You know, and I call it the old, you know, it's like an old man's house. Old man, you know, old rooming house or something. But yesterday morning, I got up and I was outside and I decided to walk past the ice cream shop. And I occasionally I will take a plastic bag and pick up some things from the ice cream shop. People, when there's a crowd, as and there was over the weekend, you can imagine lots of people pretty soon. there are trash cans over by the parking lot and on the corners down by Main Street. Mm-hmm. They get full, you know, by 8 o'clock at night sometimes. And sometimes birds or cats or somebody knock stuff out, or else people throw it in and it doesn't go in. So occasionally, Mike Fitzgerald, who lives up the street, I see him picking up stuff. Doris, who runs the shop during the week, I see her on Monday. But yesterday, anyway, I went out and I picked up a few things. And when I got down near Main Street to throw it in the trash can, I looked up and there was the frightening thing. There was a life-size cutout of somebody.
Oh, no.
On the porch with the old men staring across the street at me. Can you imagine who it was?
Yes, I can imagine quite well who it was.
Because on the side of their building, they have a flag that is at least 20 by 20, I would think.
Wow.
Or 12 by 12. Oh, it's a monstrous flag, you know. But Terry and I have 3 signs in our yard.
I know you do. Maybe that's why the cutout came out.
Well, I doubt it. Those guys never come across the street. They all sit on the porch. But we were a little hesitant, you know.
Sure.
Because hundreds of people walk by our place every day.
Yeah.
Going to the parking and going to the... But no one has bothered them. Which is
so far.
So, and I don't think anyone will. I mean, a week.
It's an ice cream shop, after all.
Yeah. But, you know, so. And I was sitting on the porch having coffee and twice this week, and a number of people paused and looked and said, "Hey, nice signs." I was like, "All right." And there were a couple young people, some old people. So,
how's the mural doing?
It's finished.
I know.
Completely.
But
oh,
is it,
just
people
sit
stopping
outside
to look
and
at it?
Park and they stop and look at it. And, you know, it was just wonderful.
Do people talk to you about it?
Some people have asked questions about it. You know, I don't remember that being out. Just finished and tell them who did it. I don't think John signed it. I'm going to have to go over and look. Because people normally sign things like on the bottom right-hand side or someplace.
Yeah, why wouldn't he sign it? That's awesome.
I don't know, but I'm going to go over there after we finish the show. I'm going to put my shoes on.
And sign it for him.
No. I wouldn't do that. That's good. So gorgeous. I'm telling you, when you see it, you are going to say.
I know.
You are not exaggerating. It is just wonderful. To me, it is the best thing in the town.
Yeah.
As far as. Hey, arts. Wow, that's neat.
Well, yeah. I just have to get through Saturday, and then I'm coming over for ice cream and to see the mural.
That'd be good. That'd be good.
All right. It is close to time for us to leave.
It's 58 minutes.
Yeah. So, shall I close this out?
I think so. And thank you very much I think we've had a delightful show.
It's been a great show. It was a good theme.
Mm-hmm.
This is Fanny Crawford.
And Stosh Ziolkowski.
For the Noontime Enlightened Radio Storytelling Hour at enlightenedradio.org, independent community radio broadcasting from Bolivar, West Virginia, closing out this week's show. Enlightened Storytelling Hour offers listeners a window into the world of storytelling by traditional and non-traditional storytellers, encouraging our listening community to share, preserve, and expand all of our stories. Stay tuned.
We're going to have a marathon.
Probably going to be.
You can hear me?
Blues. Jazz.
Can you hear me?
Blue jazz.
No. Hear me?
John will have to cut this off.
Hold on a second.
Okay.
I got an idea for a future show.
Okay.
You have a book of stories.
Now I'm here.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's too late. We're out of time.
It's okay.
Was it blues or if it's blues?
No, it's a marathon of Fanny and Stosh afternoon, followed by the ancient and mysterious and truth-telling Philo Vance.
Good. Before we go, Fanny, I have an idea for a future one. I have this book, and I have a bunch of others. I know you have some collections, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, what we should do is we should have a die. You know, so you can roll 1 through 6, and we should do a show where we roll a die, and we say, okay, we're going to start with the number 1, and you roll the die and get a number, and I roll the die and say it's 142, and we'll look on page 142 of one of our books, and we'll tell that story.
Sounds good.
That sounds like a fun story, a fun show.
I have to like the story, though.
You know,
gosh.
There's a number of generals, you know, who, when presented with two equally risky propositions, would roll the dice to decide which one to pursue.
Of course. you know.
This general is signing off.
Okay. All right. Take
Thank
care,
you,
guys.
John. Thank you, Stosh.
You're welcome. Thanks, John, very much.
Take care, pal. Good story. Good show. Okay. I listened to it. Bye-bye.